This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. Matt Doyle is producing, and our leadoff guest is Tara Wicker, the veteran councilwoman who is throwing her hat in the mayor's race, the election 130 days away. And good morning to you, Councilwoman Wicker.
Good morning.
Well, you're joining us telephonically, and I know there's a meeting in your offing not too far away, but we'll get the brief version today and hopefully for a longer visit soon. But why are you running?
Jim, I'm running because I'm the most capable and experienced candidate in this race that's really uniquely qualified to do the job effectively on day one. You know, I have the necessary skill set, the knowledge to really demand and deliver those efficient and effective services that our citizens have so badly want and that they deserve. I believe I have a proven track record that has demonstrated that I can and will be able to unite this parish and ready to get to work.
Now, last night, the Breck Board, East Baton Rouge Parish Recreation and Park Commission, voted 7-1 to seek the removal of embattled school board member Connie Bernard. What are your thoughts about the controversy swirling about her?
You know, I think that there have been so much that has happened just throughout our entire country, not just since George Floyd, but, you know, even back in 2016 and going in this whole process of healing. So I think anytime that individuals, you know, are at the table and are needing to be part of that conversation, but are doing things that cause further divide in the community, I think that those are things that we all have to recognize and deal with. You know, Trey Walsh and I, years ago, kind of took this whole issue head on, where we were able to start the Community Police Ambassador Program. A spinoff of that was Race Talk. And, you know, and someone had the conversation with me, Jim, last night about, you know, why do we think Baton Rouge has responded in a different way in this whole scenario than a lot of cities and communities. And, you know, I have to give credit to the fact that there have been many organizations and individuals that have come together. We started Race Talk. We sat in that room for many, many months having conversation about race and religion and race and education, and race and social environment. And out of that context, we recognized that at the end of the day, we really just don't know each other, you know. And so being able to sit at the table and look at this whole situation from somebody else's perspective, I think is going to be significant and necessary for all of us to be able to heal this community as a whole.
Do you think she should resign?
I think that needs to be a personal decision that she's going to have to make for herself. You know, as leaders in this community, we are obligated and required to do things that represent all people, no matter their color, no matter their background, no matter their history. But at the end of the day, all of us have to turn that knife on ourselves and look ourselves in the mirror and say, am I doing the best job that I can effectively do to make sure I'm representing everyone? And again, that's the main reason why, you know, I'm running for mayor president. You know, we are one parish. We're one people. And until all of us come to that understanding, this divide that is causing so much heartache and so much pain and so much conversations about, you know, how do we live, how do we represent, how do we respect one another, is something that I firmly believe that through conversation, through methodical and intentional strategies and policies and things of that sort, that we can overcome. That this is not something that we cannot overcome, but it is going to take all of us working together. But that's a personal, individual decision.
Yeah. So you're leaving it up to her.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I can't make that choice. I'm not in Connie's position. I have to make choices for the people that I represent now in District 10 and in the future in the city parish. And, you know, I will tell you this, if I am not able to look in the mirror and say, you know, I can represent everybody, no matter what their color, no matter their education or economic background, then it's time for me to go to the house. But that has to be a very personal decision that individuals have to make for themselves.
But when people are divisive, whether they're white or black, sometimes it's important for the leader of the city, and that's what you're striving to be, to either make a stand one way or the other, saying, look, what she did wasn't so bad, or it's time to go.
Yeah, I think as a leader of a community, you have to be able to stand up to take a stand and say if there are things that are in our community that are being divisive, individuals that are being divisive, then we need to have that conversation. Because, you know, and I'll lend this to a situation that we had with the parade that was here in the community. And it was, you know, a parade that had gone on for a long, long time, but at the same time, and it was right after some very racial issues had gone on in our community, and there were floats that were there that were very derogatory and very inflammatory. And so people were calling saying, hey, what do we need to do? Do we need to stop this parade? And you know, then it came up, oh, well, people have freedom of speech and all this. But as a leader of that district, I had to say, hey, we have policies in place. I have another parade that we have policies in place that say, if you do this, you cannot participate in this parade. And so I think in leadership, if you think do things that are divisive and do things that cause the community to be in a place that it cannot heal itself, then we need to have that conversation about what those policies are and hold people accountable to those policies.
Is she your representative on the school board?
She is not. Okay. Evelyn Ware Jackson is my representative.
Okay. 877-217-5757. Stephen in Sherwood. Stephen, you're on with Councilwoman Tara Wicker.
Hey, Ms. Wicker, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I just had one question. I wanted to know what you would do different as mayor that you could not do on the council.
All right.
Wow. Thank you. I think that's a really great question. One of the first and foremost things that I would do as mayor that I'm not able to do on the council, you know, on the council we get charged with a lot of things that are really part of the executive branch's responsibility. As a council member, I don't have the authority to run one DPW truck down the street. That comes from the executive branch of government. So one of the things that I would really want to do is make sure that individuals throughout this parish feel like they are able to get basic services done. You know, picking up the trash, making sure that we are efficiently and effectively operating as city parish government, and just being able to make sure that people know and understand that as a result of their investment in tax and their tax dollars into our city coffers, that they're getting a return, which is a delivery of those basic services that so many people are complaining about, but also desire and believe is their right as citizens of the parish.
877-217-5757, your Talk Louisiana number. Now, as far as the performance of the incumbent, Mayor Broom, you must take some fault or you would not be running. What are the deficiencies, if any, you see in her first term?
Well, you know, I think that there is no denying the fact that, you know, that Baton Rouge and in our parish is divided more so than it ever has been. You know, this is really about being able to have leadership at the helm that can effectively allow our community to be united in a real way. Also, just being able to make sure the individuals feel like they are able to successfully and effectively do business here, and that the city parish government is an ally for them, and making those processes and systems easier. You know, making sure that access and delivery of efficient and effective basic services are there. And really at the core of it is uniting this parish throughout the government, throughout the city parish, and making sure that people feel like they are a part of a community that's moving forward.
Troy in Tigerland. Troy, you're on the air with Tara Wicker. Hi, Troy.
How you doing?
Fine. What's your question, sir?
I have a question. You're saying you want the black community to come together, but why are you trying to split up the black vote?
You know, and that question has come up before, and I've been, my answer to that is, you know, it's not to me about party lines. I've never met a Democratic pothole or a Republican flood. It's really about all of us being able to come together and do what is best for this community and this city.
All right. Let's get to a caller before the break. I've been waiting patiently. Naomi on Highland. Naomi, you're on with Councilwoman Wicker. Hi, Naomi. Good morning.
Good morning. Ms. Swicker, as a councilwoman, you've often voted against the ITEP applications. And given the current economic situation that we're having because of the COVID-19, what will be your position as mayor?
All right. What about the question posed by Naomi, Councilwoman Wicker?
I think I'm looking back and questioning kind of the record in terms of voting against ITAP. I was part of that whole dialogue and conversation when we were bringing up those policies, work with groups on both sides to make sure that we understand the need and the necessity for ITAP as it relates specifically to the disbursement of those dollars and the issuing of those dollars. I was the one that wholeheartedly said, let us make sure that this equates to jobs and quality jobs for our people. So that's been my stance from the beginning on ITAP. I'm a supporter. I think that it is a viable tool to be utilized in our community to effectively allow for economic development.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Tara Wicker, the veteran councilwoman who has been a popular member of the council, now trying to run for mayor of Baton Rouge, and it'll be a crowded field. C. Denise Marcel all but announced on this show not so long ago. Matt Watson's in the race, and the incumbent, who would have to be the favorite until further notice, Sharon Weston Broome, is seeking a second term. Let's go to Henry in Mid-City. And we're going to try to get to as many of you as possible. Got a lot of folks wanting to talk to Councilwoman Wicker. Henry, you're on the air with Tara Wicker.
Oh, Mr. Jim, no, this is Henry out in the country club. I don't know who Henry in Mid-City is. And hello, Ms. Wicker. I was calling to check and see. Now, you not only have had your time on the council, but you also had 4 years working within the mayor's office under the administration of former Mayor Bart Simpson. I was wondering what you did during those 4 years to unite the community when you had the opportunity.
All right, that's Bobby Simpson. But what about your tenure with that administration? A Republican administration, as Henry.
I did. I was a Democrat working in a Republican office, and one of the things that was really critical, I was the assistant chief administrative officer at that time, and Bobby gave me the unique opportunity to work with various groups from across the parish through task force dealing with transportation issues, small business development. I was over the community centers, and so part of my job was to be that bridge builder then, and I really have to go back to that in my early years as a community organizer where I gained that unique skill set of being able to talk to people across party lines, across the table, and in many instances, I was the only one in the room, and so oftentimes that gave me a unique perspective to bring another angle and another perspective that, quite honestly, many individuals may not have been exposed to. So I have to give credit to that portion and that time in my life that really gave me, as I mentioned earlier, that unique skill set of being able to walk into any room, understand that I'm supposed to be there, and have those conversations that other people may not be comfortable having, and figuring out how we can effectively bring our community together. That's been part of my personality and my job experience for many, many years.
Bob in Mid-City. Bob, good morning. You're on with Tara Wicker.
Good morning, Tara. This is Bob. And my question is, I understand there's a $5 million settlement being brought up for the Alton Sterling case. How do you feel and how will you vote in regards to awarding his family this money?
All right. That's coming before the council. Have you decided how you're going to do this?
That is coming before the council, and I have not. I was not part the night that they actually did the mediator to come in. I was my daughter was being had a coronation, so I had to step out, and I missed the deliberation and the dialogue and the conversation about it. So the information that I'm getting now, I've been having to piece together sort of how do they come to that agreement, because a lot of that information, of course, has not been made public. I know that because it is on the council agenda, we will have that public discussion. Hey, for me, it's been, 4 years, almost 5 years now, and at some point, we do have to not kick the can down the road and bring some closure to this. And so I am very, very anxious and ready to listen to those conversations and that dialogue that's going to come, that information that I did not have because I wasn't in that room. And when that time comes and we have that public discussion, I know this is going to be a very robust conversation. At the end of the day, we need to make a decision about what's going to be best for the city moving forward, especially in light of everything that's happening across the country. But at this juncture, I'm going to have that dialogue and have that conversation simply because I wasn't in that room to hear all of the justification. But I do want to make sure that that we all are in a good place to make a solid decision. And I will be making that decision at that time.
Zach in Shenandoah, you're on with Councilwoman Wicker. Hi, Zach.
Good morning. All I can say right now is, wow, Ms. Wicker, you've been asked a couple of questions already, and you're talking around the issues, not dealing with the issues as a leader. You say as a leader, we must have this conversation. Well, we're having it right now. Jim asked you in the beginning about school board member. You couldn't really say for sure whether you felt that she should be removed. And now about this issue right now, about Alton Sterling, you still can't come and say, you know, definitively that you have one feeling or another. That's a part of being a leader, and you seem to can't do that. You talk around these issues, but you're not really getting to the answering the question. And lastly, what has Mayor Broom not done that makes you want to run against her?
What would you have strived to do that she's been unable to accomplish?
Well, again, I think I've kind of had that question earlier. Definitely in terms of being able to bring our community together, making sure that there is efficient and effective delivery of services, making sure that individuals feel like they can effectively and adequately do business here in our community and not have an adversary role in terms of just trying to make a living for their families, and make Baton Rouge feel like we are one parish, and that's not happening. That is not something that and this is not a black white issue. This is a community issue. We have divides that are all over this parish. That when you do have good leadership that take time to actually investigate and give the right information, obtain the right information so that you can give a quality decision. I can sit here and say, well, yeah, I think this, I think that. But as a leader, I've always been the one to say, let me make sure that I have all the facts. Let me make sure I have all the information so that when I do make a decision, because one thing about me, once I make a decision, I've made that decision. I'm not a person that's going to back down. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go from left to right or waver. And so it is very important to me before I just all of a sudden out of the chute say, yeah, this is exactly what I'm going to do without having a conversation. I need to make sure that as a leader, because again, I'm representing everybody. And so there's always two sides to every fight. And so I can go with my emotions and make an emotional decision, or I can make a solid decision based on facts and information. That's what I've always done. And that's what I'm going to continue to do, even as mayor president of this parish.
Now, on the show not so long ago, Matt Watson, who's also running, your fellow council person, he suggested that Murphy Paul would be better off not being the chief. What is your assessment of his performance as chief of police?
Yeah, I was part of the mayor's task force that actually did the police search, looking at all the different officers, the candidates that came up, and you know, at that moment, Murphy Paul was, you know, heads and shoulders above the candidates that were there. I mean, he stood out. My husband is a former state trooper, so I understand kind of the pedigree and the lineage that he has. I do believe that that Murphy Paul, based on the situations that he's had, has done the best job that he could possibly do under these circumstances. Is everything perfect? Is everything what we all want it to be? No, but I will tell you this, and I go back to the Community Police Ambassador Program. That was a program that was started back in 2016. Of course, it was prior to Chief Paul coming on board. Chief Dabity, the whole Baton Rouge Police Department, everybody was at the table in that conversation. When Murphy Paul came on board, he took the policy recommendations that the community came up with and developed and said, I want this. I'm going to incorporate this. His staff has been at every last meeting. We had a Zoom meeting, and the police department were actively involved in that conversation last night. So, you know, is everything perfect? No, but we all need to be able to come together and figure out how do we work together collectively as a team. BRPD, the union, the chief office, everybody, because all of us want a safe, viable community, and we can't do that divided.
Well, Tara Wicker, I know you have a meeting coming in just a few minutes. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to a return visit soon, and best of luck to you. Thank you for joining us today.
I appreciate it, Jim. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Our pleasure to hear your voice. And we will continue to cover the mayor's race, now 130 days away. It's on the same day as the presidential election of November 3rd. Mike Wolf was slated to be with us, but likely we're going to hold him till Monday, even though he's looking me right in the eye now, because I want to spend some time with him, not just a few minutes, talking about how third-party candidates may end up determining who wins this presidential election. In 2016, Hillary Clinton got 48.2%, Donald Trump 46.1%, and 5.7% went to other candidates. But now we pause for the news on WRKF.